Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Ice Skating Podcast, which we've put together to celebrate Pride Month this June. I'm Luke Norman, and as ever, I'm here with Nick Moore. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm very good, thank you, Luke. And it was a great pleasure for us to both actually meet up last week. We've been doing these podcasts virtually via Zoom since the start, and so to be in the same room as each other, having a proper chat, is making us hopeful that things will soon be moving back towards normal.
Yeah, it was glorious, Nick. I can't believe you actually exist after so long staring at you through a screen. What a pleasure to be face to face. And we got a few beers in, didn't we? A few cold beers. That was nice. And inevitably, talk did drift to ice skating. So despite the fact it's sort of a bit of a downer to be back hundreds of miles apart, how nice to be on the pod again, and what a superb episode we've got coming up.
Yes, to celebrate Pride, we've got three guests, one each from figure skating, speed skating and short track, all talking about their experiences as LGBTQ plus athletes.
Yes, first up, our colleague Elmer Smith had an incredible chat with Guillaume Cizeron, the figure skater, and Brittany Bowe, the speed skater. A couple of quick Guillaume and Brittany facts for you. Guillaume is famous for his partnership with Gabriella Papadakis. Together, they've won 4 Ice Dance World Championship gold medals already. Not too bad. But amazingly, Brittany can better that. She's a 6-time world champion. Although she's got an Olympic bronze to Guillaume's Olympic silver, so I suppose it's all swings and roundabouts. But perhaps even more importantly than bragging rights, they're both fascinating people with really important stories and messages to share.
Yeah, they are. And listening to this, they're both so articulate, so smart, so thoughtful, talking about these big issues that you almost forget they're also truly world-class athletes because they're world-class conversationalists, which certainly isn't the case with everyone in sports, is it? And it's a real insight into their journeys, which we're pleased to say have been fairly positive.
Yeah, and I mean, later on in the pod, we'll hear from short tracker Blake Skellerup, who's an equally compelling character, but you know, in contrast, he found coming out a real struggle. So it's fascinating, these different stories.
Yeah, that's quite right. And it was interesting speaking to Blake. But first, let's hear from Elmer, Brittany and Guillaume.
It's Pride Month, celebrated every year in June in honour of the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in New York. And usually without the threat of COVID, this would mean parades and marches and, you know, like a really beautiful, very public celebration, a display of LGBTQ plus communities, you know, all around the world, making themselves visible and standing up and, you know, proclaiming that this is something to be proud of. What does pride mean to you? Let's start with you, Brittany.
Pride can mean so many things. But Pride Month specifically, I think it's just a time to celebrate and promote the equality of LGBTQ plus people. It's a time to reflect on movements, and it's also a time for us to share our stories and experiences that can make a difference for others. As you said, normally there would be parades and celebrations. Well, you know, we're kind of in the era of the social media boom, so it's great to have platforms like this to, you know, share our stories and encourage and, you know, continue to reach people in a way that we haven't been able to in the past.
Why is it so important, Guillaume?
I think just the idea of pride in itself is very powerful because I think a lot of queer people have just experienced so much shame growing up that, you know, the opposite of shame is pride. So I think just having that strong balance kind of reinforcing the idea that it is something to be proud of is very important. I think personally, it took me a long time to really embrace it. But yeah, definitely getting rid of that shame around the world, fighting it by just celebrating, I think is just very powerful.
You did make a pretty big declaration on International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia last year, Guillaume. You clearly chose your moment because it's It's not just a day. It's a little more meaningful than that. But you were already out to family and friends. And it's interesting. I have a friend who kind of did the same thing. We'd all known for years, and he works in the public sphere, and he decided to also do kind of a public coming out. Tell me about the decision to do that. Was it something that you had thought about for a long time?
You know, along my career, I've seen other athletes do it, and I've always been impressed by the people who were publicly talking about sexuality, because it's not, you know, an easy thing to talk about. I don't know. I think it crossed my mind many times. I've always had a hard time giving it like a meaning for myself. Like I don't think I was, I've never wanted to come out. Like I'm not a good friend of that term, because I feel like that's not something that people should have to do. And I've always kind of just lived my life, you know, naturally, and I've never, for you know, many years, it wasn't something that I was hiding from anyone. I've always been felt respected, even by the medias, who never really asked, which as they should. Like, I don't think it, you know, at the end of the competition, it's not the time and place to ask, like, who do you sleep with? So, you know, I think the only way to really talk about it is to talk about it on social media, really, which I did. I think on that day, one of my friends said, "Oh, are you posting anything? Or are you, are you posting anything?" And I just said, "Well, no." And then I thought about it, and I said, like, actually, why not? Like, why not? So I just posted a picture of me and my boyfriend, and then a lot of people interpreted that as, oh, he came out, which I understand. But it is funny to me that me posting a picture of me and my boyfriend made such a fuss, you know.
Yeah, it went like, I mean, the response to it was massive, and it's still kind of seen as a big moment, which I guess in a way tells us a lot about where we are. Like in some respects, we think we've moved so much, and yet somehow, you know, this is seen as a great big declaration, which, as you say, it shouldn't really have to be.
But we're not there yet. So that's kind of what I've been fighting this for a long time. Like internally, I was like, no, I don't, like, I'm not going to do this. It makes no sense to me. And then at some point I realized that it could potentially help a lot of, you know, a lot of young skaters, or it could help a few people. And that's why I decided to do it too, and to keep talking about it, because especially in France, there's not a lot of, you know, out queer high-level athletes. So, you know, I'm pretty happy that I did that, and I'm happy to be part of the conversation. And I think it's been moving things a little bit in France. There's a few other athletes that kind of followed my lead, and a few, you know, platforms did some shows on the subject. So it's kind of, it's opening a conversation, and it's giving a space for athletes to talk about it, because it's not everybody just wants to post things, you know, and see what happens. I think just having a context for it is a really nice thing.
Brittany, why was it important for you to make your sexual orientation public? Because you could also quietly have gone about your life and just been a speed skater.
Quietly gone about, you know, my personal life for many years. And I've never, you know, been one to really speak out publicly on any topic. And I can kind of relate to G's kind of view on this coming out thing. I don't have one particular coming out moment. It was more just a gradual evolution that happened over time. And as I just became comfortable with myself as a person and matured, growing up in a relatively small town, considered very conservative, attended a private Catholic school, kindergarten through 12th grade, being gay was definitely far from the norm, so to speak. When I was in high school, I definitely realized I was, you know, attracted to females, but didn't talk about it. That was 15, 20 years ago now. And that was just something that was not talked about among family, friends, or within the community. And as I kind of sit and reflect, I always like to think of having thought of myself as being completely comfortable in my skin and who I am. But, you know, thinking back to my high school years, was I afraid of being judged? Absolutely. It wasn't a topic of discussion, and I just chose to keep quiet about it because, well, it was just easier that way. You know, at the time, choosing not to talk about it seemed like the easy thing and no big deal to me. I continued to be with who I wanted to be with and did what I wanted to do and just kind of went along, you know, about my business quietly. And, you know, fast forward to moving south 4 hours to college, I accepted a scholarship to Florida Atlantic University. It wasn't until stepping foot on campus that I saw like what real diversity and acceptance was. And, you know, for the first time, I really felt like, okay, I can, you know, be who I want to be with no reservations. Very quickly, I became comfortable, more comfortable in my skin. And, you know, I was never met with anything other than acceptance and love. And no one was concerned with the fact that I was attracted to and wanted to be with females. So, yeah, the coming out, it was, you know, just a gradual thing for me. And then if we, you know, even fast forward to me joining, you know, the sport of long track speed skating. And, you know, I went to the 2014 Olympics and, you know, chose to kind of keep quiet about my sexual orientation. For what reasons, I'm not really sure, other than I want to be known for my accomplishments on the ice. I want to be known for being a good human. I want to be known for, you know, treating others well. But then again, you know, we fast forward 4, 8 years and I realized that sharing my story, and my story is one of the happy stories because I was met with so much love and acceptance, and I'm very aware that so many people are not. So I just hope that sharing my story can encourage people to, you know, be confident, be happy, and just be confident in the skin that they're in and the life that they choose to live.
Yeah, because it's such a reality that even, you know, some countries have very progressive legal frameworks and communities and is incredibly accepting. And then some of the athletes that you'd be competing with and against would come from places where it's a very different story. Guillaume, do you ever feel a responsibility, you know, for the fact that you can be out and you can be very vocal and you can be an activist and to do that then, because there are so many of your counterparts who come from places where they just cannot?
I don't know if I feel that. I don't feel like it's a responsibility in the sense that it doesn't feel like a weight on my shoulders. It really feels like I have the opportunity to inspire other people, and that pushes me to be my best self and my most expressed self. And I find a lot of meaning in that, because it has been a struggle for me. And I see, you know, so many talented, amazing people who are struggling with it. And it's just a shame. I really just feel like by being myself and showing that example of not being ashamed, of not, you know, trying to hide any parts of myself, of being open to any possibilities, I feel like by being that, I'm helping other people do it too. So mm-hmm. It doesn't really feel like I have to like try so hard to do anything. I'm not really in the political side of aspects of that for now, at least. I feel like I'm doing the best I can to be those values that I think society should embrace, like concerning, you know, inclusion and you know, living well all together with our differences.
Is skating a safer environment for LGBTQ plus athletes, Brittany, than other sports? How does it compare?
You know, I don't know if I can give a very fair answer to that. I think, you know, being a gay female or gay male, you may have two very different, you know, sides of the story when it comes to being accepted in the sport or in the community that you live in. And, you know, like I said, I do have one of these happy stories that, you know, was met with love, acceptance, and I could not imagine, you know, being met with the hate, the injustice, the violence that so many people deal with on a day-to-day basis. So, I, you know, not to sugarcoat my story or anything, but I do want to give hope to people that are, you know, struggling with, ooh, am I going to be accepted or not? I mean, there's a very good chance that you may be accepted with nothing but love and, you know, the acceptance that I was. So, I have a happy story. I'm very grateful for that. And being a gay female speed skater is no different than being a straight female skater from what I have encountered.
And what needs to still happen in sport, but particularly the sport that you do, from a let's look ahead, ideally speaking, in the next few years from an LGBTQ plus perspective, what still needs to change? What still needs to move? Where would you like to see a bit of progress?
Well, like I said, I haven't faced, you know, discrimination, injustice within my sport. So I think I have to give a kudos and hats off to all of my, you know, fellow competitors, teammates, coaches, fans. We can all do better, you know, and it's something just so simple as treat others the way you want to be treated. So I guess I would encourage everyone to continue to live by that. And again, to just say thank you for accepting me, you know, for being my full authentic self. And it's a blessing for sure.
I mean, I'm a little bit like Brittany. I think I'm lucky to be in a sport where it's an artistic sport, so there's a lot of very open-minded people worldwide. Like, for sure, there are some countries where like being gay is still a crime. So in those countries, you know, it affects the skaters, of course. But that's not really a sport-related question. It's more like a world-related problem. In figure skating, it's just personally what I've questioned a lot before is, like, skating was always my way of, like, expression, and that's where I felt free to be myself. But also, at some point, it felt kind of weird being put in the position where I had to be in a straight marriage with my partner, you know what I mean? Like, a fake marriage. But I still had to play that heterosexual male role, and I rejected that for a long time because I took it very personally when, you know, you get taught, like, you get told that you're not manly enough, that you're not, you know, this or that or that. And so I've always found interesting what people find beautiful and not beautiful. And very often it's related to the story that they have behind that aesthetic question. Like, a lot of times I've had the impression that people didn't want to see the more feminine part of me. Like, I had to hide it even in the sport because I had to be the man. I had to, you know, hold my partner and be strong and this and that, which are things that I don't, like, it is part of me, but I also have other layers. And I think for myself, like, I've tried to find the freedom, like, just take the freedom to express those part of my personalities, even if nobody asked me to. And I think in figure skating, it's becoming more and more okay to not necessarily be a macho man, especially when you dance with a woman. It doesn't have to always be a romantic thing. Like, women don't have to be the fragile thing that is being taken care of all the time. It is nice sometimes to have that story, but sometimes just switching it and reversing the roles and just having more freedom and more opportunities for males to be creative, to be sensitive, to be fragile. Like, I think that's where I would like to see the sport going, and the more, like, just more freedom for male and women, because women can also be strong and fierce, and they don't have to be that beautiful, delicate creature, you know, if they don't want to be. Yeah, I think it's just taking that freedom direction.
Brilliant stuff there. A huge thank you to Guillaume, Brittany and Elmer for that. There's loads more from the three of them on the new Up Again show, which is out this Wednesday, found at youtube.com/ISU. Please do go and check that out. They're all well worth listening to and watching. And plus, you've got the influencer Milk on there, who we're going to hear from more next time on the pod.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to hear that there's a lot to be very optimistic about from both Guillaume and Brittany's stories, to hear that both skaters were met with nothing but love and acceptance when it came to being open about their sexuality is fantastic. I think but they're both quite clear, aren't they, that looking at the overall picture, there's still quite a long way to go.
Yeah, there is clearly, isn't there, across society and sport. And they're both so self-aware and realise that, of course, if you're on a liberal university campus like Brittany was, or in a liberal Canadian city like Guillaume, then it's an easy environment in which to be an LGBT plus person. But unfortunately, that's not true in every place in the world, and certainly not in every sport in the world.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we've worked, you and I, Luke, in sports like football and rugby for a long time covering these sports. And the fact that there's still hardly any openly gay players is a really poor state of affairs. And it unfortunately comes down to people being worried about the reaction from teammates and the reaction in stadiums.
That's it, isn't it? I mean, we're in a situation where it's going to take some incredibly brave people to be the first to come out, high profile people to come out while still playing various sports. And it's a real difficult one, isn't it? Because you shouldn't have to be brave about this. It's got nothing to do with that. And I suppose that brings us on to our next interviewee. You spoke to former New Zealand short track speed skater Blake Skeller up, didn't you, Nick? And he had an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, and unlike Guillaume and Brittany, Blake did really struggle with being open about his sexuality in the sporting arena. He was an excellent short track racer who qualified for Vancouver 2010, but he didn't come out fully to his family until shortly before the Games, and he was worried about what sponsors might think and what the other racers might think and what the public back home in New Zealand might think. So he also says that he didn't really have the headspace to deal with coming out at that time, really.
It's something I don't know about you, but I hadn't really considered, and it's such an interesting and an important point, you know. And as Brittany said, sort of likewise, really, that she just wanted to focus on being a skater, being as good as she could and being a good person in her life, and didn't want that sideshow related to her personal life. And why would you? I mean, it's her private life. It's got nothing to do with her sporting career or what she's like as a person. And it must be so difficult when everything overlaps.
That's right. And Blake's been on a very interesting journey himself. He became quite outspoken around Sochi 2014 about the need for LGBT plus visibility to help advance the cause and to provide an example for others. And he's since been an ambassador at the Gay Games. So let's hear from Blake.
With great pride. It was a dream of mine since I started skating at the age of 10. And just to know that I actually accomplished that is something that I'm really, really proud of. And, you know, it's not something that I shy away from. I like telling people about it. And it's just, you know, a really great thing for, you know, the sport in New Zealand as well, because it's such a small sport. Winter sports in New Zealand are minute compared to the Summer Games. And just to have made it and to represent my country, yeah, it's a really proud moment in my life.
What was it like going to Vancouver as part of that small Kiwi team, going to the opening ceremony, being in the village, all that? What was the experience like?
Crazy is probably the one word. You can't really prepare for it. You watch, you know, you learn, you hear stories, but once you get there, you know, all of that hard work The triumphs, the tribulations, they all sort of just come rushing back to you, and you're just sort of sitting there going, okay, I've done this. And then, you know, you've got the world watching, your country watching, your parents are there who have never watched you compete at an event outside of your home country ever before. So it was really exciting. There's, you know, a fair amount going on inside the head, but mostly it's just like, you know, you've done this, you've achieved this, and yeah, super proud.
Yeah, fantastic. And you stated in, I think it was an Australian magazine after the Games, that you decided to wait until after Vancouver to come out as gay so you could focus on sport and potentially avoid alienating sponsors. How do you look back on that decision now? And was it a tough decision?
I guess the context to that is that I didn't actually come out to my friends and family until 3 months before the Games. And, you know, that's... You know, I guess that's all down to myself and where I was in my life, my career, and, you know, accepting my identity and who I truly was. I didn't really, you know, wait per se. It was just, you know, going through the motions, feeling comfortable in myself. Do I wish I had have done it sooner? Absolutely. I don't regret the way I went about it, or, you know, the time in which I did come out. But, you know, looking back and even in today in sport, the amount of people still competing and being openly gay is pretty minute. I don't have a figure for you, but most people still wait until they finish competing. And, you know, I do regret that part, that I couldn't have done it sooner. And I couldn't have been out there on the ice in Vancouver, openly gay.
Yeah. And when you were in Vancouver, you also said that you were walking around hand in hand with your boyfriend. You went to Pride House, so you were openly out, but hardly anyone else was. That must have been quite strange.
Yeah, it was part of my journey, really. As I said, I only came out a few months before the Olympics, and once I was there, Vancouver's an incredibly open city. And it was just a place that I felt really comfortable. I mean, Canada in general, I owe a lot to, you know, my own internal development into my sexuality. Once I left Christchurch, I think in 2006, and made the full-time move to Canada, it was a way for me to discover who I was. And that was something I didn't feel like I could do in New Zealand, because it was a place that I'd grown up. You know, I felt a lot of, I guess, the values that I grew up with, traditional values, and there just was not a lot of visibility of gay athletes in sport. And that's the part that I really struggled with the most. You know, I kept coming back to, you know, if I came out, I wasn't going to be selected for the Olympics. I wasn't going to be able to compete anymore. And it just took me a fair amount of time to get over that myself. While it wouldn't have been true, you know, I don't feel it would have been true anyway, the only person who had to accept that was myself.
Yeah. And do you think things have got any better? I mean, this was only 10 years ago. It seems a bit shocking, really. Have things improved that much?
Well, I think the fact that I'm sitting here talking to you, and that the ISU is doing a specific podcast around Pride, definitely proves that things have got better, because at the end of the day, the biggest thing for people who are questioning, you know, their own journey, and if they come out sooner or when they come out, it just comes down to visibility. And if you feel like you're alone, then you don't have that encouragement and that support to come out in sport. So yeah, a lot has changed in the last 10 years, and I'm, you know, really excited to see that the ISU specifically is just recognizing that. And, you know, that's a massive step for the sport itself.
Yeah. How was the reaction in the skating community when you made that decision to come out?
Overall, really, really positive. It was a pretty long journey for myself. And sadly, at, you know, even my first international competition, I felt a form of bias, not necessarily towards myself, but just towards homosexuality in general. And it wasn't until I got myself surrounded with Europeans, shall we say, and was a part of a really great training team. And it was just being with them and, you know, finding the courage to come out. And, you know, I owe a great deal of gratitude to them for being so accepting, because, you know, it was just another day. And I just happened to be in conversation. I'd been seeing this guy going on dates for a while and mentioned it. I don't think it was any surprise, Nick. I don't think it ever is. It wasn't a surprise to them anyway, but just their reaction and the way they accepted me was super helpful.
That's how it should be. And you were an ambassador for the 2014 Gay Games. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, that was a really exciting experience. The Gay Games was something that I'd known about, and to be asked to attend and also light the Gay Games flame was, you know, a really sort of 360 moment for myself when I first started to identifying who I was and not accepting that and not believing that I could be in sport, to competing in the Olympics and then being at the Gay Games as an Olympian, representing myself, my sport, my country, amongst thousands of other LGBT athletes was really honouring and quite moving, just to be there and see people from all around the world come to Cleveland just under the umbrella of sport and just competing as them true selves. And at the end of the day, that's all that it takes, is that being your true self, because I feel like an inhibitor to me in my performance was that weight that I had on my shoulders about my sexuality and the unknown. And the steps that the sports are taking these days, I think they're actively trying to combat that, because, you know, if there's visibility and if there's people saying that it's going to be okay and athletes will be supported, then, you know, that's such a barrier that's removed from the decision-making process of each individual person's journey.
So you were quite outspoken around the time of Sochi 2014, when there was a bit of a debate about attending the Olympic Winter Games in Russia. Your attitude was, we should attend and we should be visible as LGBTQ plus people. How do you think that's turned out?
Yeah, I mean, not being there myself was obviously, you know, disappointing. I would have loved to have been there. You know, I was pretty vocal. I was very out there at that point, having spent almost 12 years in the closet to finally come out. There was nowhere that I was going to apologize for that or hide who I was for the sake of being in a foreign country. But the Olympics, you know, is a movement that has always stood by some very core values, and sexuality should definitely fit into that. And, you know, reflecting, has much changed in Russia? No. That's, you know, in a way a hard thing to do. I don't live in Russia. I'm not Russian. So there's, you know, not a lot that can be done, but you just really hope that people in that country these days are safe and that they're finding ways to be them true selves.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, how will you be celebrating Pride, and what do you love most about Pride? Why is it still so important?
How will I be celebrating Pride? Well, I'm in New Zealand, and we had our version of Pride back in, I think, March. And, you know, it's always a great time. I was living in Sydney up until last year, and they have a fantastic Mardi Gras there. And the very first time I went to that, it was, you know, it was eye-opening, but it just was such an exciting thing to be a part of. And it's great that, you know, today in 2021, that there just seems to be more and more visibility across the board from all organizations. And it's, yeah, again, fantastic to see that the ISU is recognizing that and giving visibility to LGBT athletes in the ISU codes.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for being with us, Blake. It's great to speak to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It was really good to hear from Blake there. Thank you so much to him. What a remarkable guy. He's done so much, and it's educating, certainly for me, to hear how different everyone's story can be.
Yeah, it really is. And if you head to isu.org, we've got an article coming up with Blake soon. And across all the ISU platforms, there's lots going on to celebrate Pride. I know this is happening across a lot of sports, and it's great that the ISU and skating is doing its part.
Yeah, absolutely. And although we're nearing the end of this episode of the pod, please do join us on the 28th of June for the second part of this Pride special. where we've got Guillaume and Brittany in conversation with the very funny and also very insightful drag artist and social media influencer Milk. It's well worth your time, really something a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And thanks to all our guests for this episode. And don't forget to head to isu.org for all the latest news and features. Please like and subscribe to the pod. And we also have one more request. Please leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you listen. That'll really help us a lot to share the world of skating with more people. And we might even mention you on the podcast. For now, see you next time.
Great stuff. Take care, Nick. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. Bye.